Welcome to The Leadership Line, a podcast that covers everyday work issues from dealing with jerks at work to feeling burnt out. Tammy and Scott's experience, along with their different perspectives, help listeners grow, examine realistic options and alternatives, and identify those actionable solutions to the tough issues we face every day at work. So, Tammy and Scott, my final weeks as a college student are finally coming to an end, and I've been so stressed out. This has been the week from hell. I've had multiple group projects, probably 5 group projects, and multiple groups. I've had team members not contributing at all, and I've been having to do their work for them. So, in this situation, what should I do?
I have to admit, Isabel, I hate group projects. I do. And yet so much work. So you're experiencing this at college, but so much work is now done in groups. Collaboration is this big word, right? And so much of the value that we add as employees is how we can work with others. So it's a good experience, but I have to be honest with you, I get frustrated with exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I don't remember having that many problems with group projects in college.
Oh, okay, mister.
But I'm also trying to remember. I don't know that I can remember one that we did.
Seriously?
Not even one.
No.
Oh, I had one, and I remember I actually went to the professor 2 weeks before the semester was done. And I said, hey, here's the deal. No one on the team is pulling their weight. No one on the team is doing what they're supposed to do, what they said that they would do, what they committed to doing. And I'm going to come to the end of this semester and that project's not going to be done. And you are going to give me a grade. And and that grade, it's going to be based upon the fact that all of these other people have not pulled their weight and I've pulled mine. And I still remember to this day what he said to me. He said, it's not about the quality of the project. It's whether or not you guys could figure out how to work as a team. And I was like, good to know. And we're going to flunk. Because we weren't working as a team. And by the way, what we turned, it's exactly what Isabel said. She was doing all of the work. She's going to turn it in. That's what I did. I did it all, turned it in, and we got a great grade. But it was my work. It wasn't our work.
And I hear these stories a lot. And there's a piece of me that, like, okay, you have a team of 4 or 5 or whatever the size of the do you think multiple people feel that way? Like, I'm doing all the work. No, I'm doing all the work. No, I'm doing all the work.
What do you think? Seriously.
I suspect there's probably more than one person feeling that the work is uneven.
People feel guilty? The ones who aren't doing anything and know they aren't doing anything? Because there's got to be some that know they're not doing anything.
Oh, I suspect some people probably feel guilty. Some probably are like, yeah, whatever. That's why I picked Tammy, or that's why I picked Isabel on my team.
So that we feel guilty. And so therefore we don't, like, you know,
I purposefully knew I wasn't going to do the work, but I knew if I was on your team, you would.
Oh,
that has to go on.
It has happened to me professionally.
I can believe that.
It has. And it's as irritating in college as it is professionally.
Yeah. Okay. So what's behind this, really? So I think it makes sense. There will be some people, yep, they feel guilty. There will be some people who, yeah, they feel like I've done more work than others. There are some people who are slugs and they don't do diddly squat. Okay, set those aside.
Right.
What really is going on when a team, when you have people on a team who aren't meeting commitments. I mean, because that's really what we're talking about.
You know, Scott, you're right about that. And I think one of the things, and there's multiple, but let's just start here. I think some people make commitments with full intention of keeping them. And they say yes. And in that saying yes, they're not thinking through the commitment that they made. They are just saying yes because that's what you're expected to do. Something has been assigned to you and you're like, okay. And you don't put it in context. You don't figure out how it's going to fit with the other work that you're going to have to do. You don't know when it's going to be done. You simply say yes. And then later on, recognize that you've said yes to something that you can't do, or to be honest with you, maybe just don't want to do. But I think that's one of the reasons why we have issues, is because there is pressure to say yes when something is assigned to you, and you say yes, and you're not thinking about what that you're really saying yes to.
Yeah, I think there's a whole piece of it. Gosh, I haven't thought it through. I mean, to me, that is the element. I suspect there's probably a fair amount of people that fall into that. They make the commitment intended.
Yeah.
And then you get other things pile on. I mean, life, other class, you know, when you're talking college life, other classes, other.
Yeah. And the same thing happens at work, right? And oftentimes it's people, right? The folks who want to be in relationship, folks who enjoy other people's company, and they like to say yes because they don't want to disappoint people. And so they are not thinking about the consequences of saying yes. They're simply saying yes because that's what they do. And I think anybody that's listening to this, they know, are you a person who says yes because that's what you do? Or are you a person that waits, thinks that through, and then makes a commitment based upon what you know you can keep, right? Mm-hmm. I'll say yes to things I can do. And I'm, you know, a year ago, Scott, one of the things we talked about was, hey, who wants to get healthy? And everybody was like, let's get healthy. And I was like, I'm not ready to say yes. And everybody stared at me. You're like, you're slowing down the process. I said, yes, because when I say yes, I'm serious about saying yes. I don't say yes lightly. And I oftentimes hold on and don't say anything at all until I know when I say yes, that I can keep that commitment. It's that important to me because I used to be that person who just said yes, and I would get in trouble all the time. And so I've learned that lesson, right? I've learned to wait, and I do, I wait. And then who is the one who got healthy this year?
That implies that someone didn't.
I met all my health commitments this year, including all my doctor's appointments and including losing weight. And it's been a really good year because when I did say yes, right, I was ready to say yes and I knew what I was saying yes to.
True. So why does that matter? So that's helpful for you and your health. Congratulations. Why does it matter in the business world?
Well, think about this for just a minute. Okay. How many times do we say yes to something and we don't know what we're saying yes to? How many times do we say yes to something and we haven't put it in context with all the other commitments that we have had that we have? So therefore, we're just killing ourselves trying to get things done. How many times have we said yes and we're not the right person? When we look at the group, you know what? I said yes because nobody else was saying yes. But that's not my skill set. If I had waited, another part of this project would have been a better fit for me. And this first part would have been a better fit for somebody else. And yet I said yes. And now I'm going to do something that's not my sweet spot, that's going to take me longer. And I let the person who really would be good at that off the hook. What do you think?
Well, and I think there's all of those points. There's also an element of when I say yes and don't deliver, I break promises and I erode trust, even if I'm well-intentioned. And it's like, to me, it's this, there's the developmental piece, there's the capacity piece about saying yes, the understanding context, all of those elements. And there's this building trust. To me, it's all of those play into the experience. And you think about what Isabel said at the beginning. It's been a week from hell.
Yep.
I'm stressed. I'm frustrated. So then you have all of those feelings that also cloud other work.
And think about the fact that Isabel is going to get to leave college soon. And she's going to go off and she's going to work for a company. And there's a really good chance none of these people are going to be there. However, if you do that inside an organization, you don't get to leave and they don't get to leave. So now you have the history with all these people who broke their promises, who let you down. And I have to be honest with you, resentment has got to follow that. And then if you're working with people that you resent, people that you don't trust, people that you don't think best of when they come to mind. And now you wonder why we have all of this kind of infighting, kind of drama, you know, kind of stuff that happens inside of an organization. And it can be solved so easily.
As a leader, there's a piece that I want the individual and the team to figure it out.
Yes.
There is a piece that I have a responsibility as a leader to also pay attention to. Why is that person constantly on the I don't want to work with them list?
Right.
And what do I need to do? Right. Are they meeting their commitments? And am I coaching, guiding, having the accountability conversation appropriately based on whatever the situation is?
I mean, obviously, if someone has a reputation where nobody wants to work with them, right? There is something in that reputation, and that is either a coaching or corrective action conversation. Yeah. And one where it really comes in and says, if this is your reputation, where does it come from and how are you contributing to that? And what do you need to do differently? So there's no question in that spot. But there's also like some tactics. So there's a leader responsibility, there's an individual responsibility, but there's also some team tactics that can actually solve a big part of this. One of them, my very favorite, is, hey, let's just quickly scope out the project. And before anybody says anything about, I'll do that, let's get that scoping done. And as we scope it, I need someone to lead this. I need someone to take this. I need someone to take that. And you literally, at the end, have a list of all of the stuff that we need someone to own, okay? And you don't have the conversation about who's going to do it along the way. You wait until that entire project has been scoped, and then you say, okay, let's look at these things that need to be signed. What are the skill sets that might be needed for some of these? And where are the places that you guys say, hey, I'm skilled at that, and I'd like to take that one on? And that is a methodology of getting the right task to the right person versus what most people do. Okay, that's the first thing that needs to be done. Who's going to do it? That's the second thing that needs to be done. Who's going to do it? Don't do it sequentially. Get it all done. And then have the conversation. What's the skill set? What's the time frame? And who thinks that that is something that fits them? That's a really quick and easy tactic to help a team be more successful. Do you have another one?
No, I love that one. I always think of if I'm going to either volunteer or be voluntold for a task or assignment, I'm thinking, why me? And not in the way like, oh, why me? To me, it's no, why am I best suited for that? Is that something I should delegate? Is that something someone else should do because they're better suited for it? Is that, and again, this to me, I could play the spirit of this versus black and white, because I could say, why me? And I could just dump it on other people. No, if it's me and I should own it, then I need to take it and I need to own it and I need to do it.
I think the team also, especially in a work situation, maybe Isabel doesn't know all of her classmates really well, but in a work situation where we've worked with people, I mean, it's as simple as saying, Scott, this is a technology situation. I am not best suited for it. You are. And sometimes we need to also have the boldness of that, right? Where we simply look at each other and say, this is something you would be good at. It's not. something I would be good at. But then in that spot, right, Scott, you can come in and say, guys, my plate is full until next Thursday. And I could take that on, but it's going to push all of this back until Thursday. Can we live with that? If we can't live with that, then who is second choice, third choice? And, you know, not in a way that's diminishing that. But Scott is obviously the technologist in our organization. And trust me, I would be the last choice for anything that has that kind of skill set attached to it.
And I think ultimately, in the end, as we're thinking about this, whether it's a team or an individual, it's really about saying no. If I'm going to say yes, and when I say yes, whether I am voluntarily doing it or I'm being voluntold, because some things you don't get a choice, you just need to do because that's just the role. Then it's about saying, no, how do I get it done and get it done to the accepted level of quality in that time window that it needs to be done in?
It's recognizing that when you have accepted a task, you're making a promise. And keeping our promises is the way that people are going to judge our integrity. And every time that we say we will do something and we do it, we get a little plus sign on the integrity side. And every time we say something and we don't do it, we get a little negative. And the more negatives we have, the less trustworthy we are and the less that people want us on the team. The more positives we have, the more people see us as being trustworthy. We keep our word, we keep our promises, and the more people want us around, whether it's on the team or inside the organization. And we call that the say-to-do ratio. The closer you are to 100% in terms of what you say you do, the more trustworthy you are and the more integrity you're seen as having. And without that, people don't want you on the team, or to be honest with you, in the company. So the other kind of thing to remember is be careful what you say yes to. When you break small promises, all it does is tell people that you'll break big promises. So don't say yes without thinking, and change your technique of asking people to make sure that they understand the big picture so they can choose the ones that will add the most value and help the project move along.
And that wraps up this week's episode of The Leadership Line. As always, feel free to reach out to us in the emails provided in this podcast description box, and be sure to check out our upcoming episodes always announced on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.